In the name of the God above, Christ beside, and the Spirit within. Amen. After church one day, she wanted to speak to me. She and her husband had been married a long time. There was loyalty in the relationship, and there used to be love and affection. Now it seemed to her all that was left was duty. So what had changed and why had it changed? He had managed the household and took care of her when she had had a bout of cancer a few years ago. She had also had an affair once. He said he forgave her for that and that he loved her, but she felt a certain sense of indebtedness to him. It's as if she owed him for sticking it out with her and caring for her. There were little ways he kept reminding her how much she owed him. He would expect things and sometimes demand things. He would put her down, be impatient. He could lose his temper. She felt trapped by her moral obligations to him. She felt ashamed of her inability to love him anymore. She felt guilty of her resentment toward him and what he seemed to hold over her. Would she ever experience freedom? Would she ever be able to forgive herself and forgive him too? Forgiveness is a word we all know, but do we know what it means? I think most of us know what it means, even if we don't always live it. Sometimes we don't want to live it. Sometimes we feel that forgiving someone is capitulating and giving in where we shouldn't. Maybe forgiving is letting someone off the hook too easily. But maybe our difficulty forgiving is something that is preventing us from a deeper level of freedom and joy and peace. Have we ever thought about that? About greater freedom, joy, peace, and more? How about doing the right thing no matter what? So then, we need to reflect on forgiveness, and we need to reflect on our own journey of forgiveness. If we care about greater inner freedom and joy and peace, if we care about doing the right thing no matter what, even a little, if we care about that, if we care about any of that, then we have an opportunity in this time of sacred worship to engage an important spiritual issue that can make all the difference for our inner quality of life. And to guide us and inspire us, Jesus gives us this wild parable. Now, I call it wild because even though it's fairly simple to understand, what it says and the way it's said is a little wild, and that's intentional. What do I mean? Let's set the context. Peter comes to Jesus and asks him about forgiveness, but he's not asking Jesus about forgiving people out there in the world, you know, people who are strangers or people who commit horrible crimes. No, he's not asking about that. He's asking Jesus about people who are close. Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? People close to us and people from whom we expect something more, something higher, something better. A fellow sibling in spiritual community, they should be a good person, a person of integrity, responsibility, care, and consideration. Someone close to us is someone with whom we share our vulnerabilities, someone whom we trust. Too often, the hurts we carry deepest and the resentment that burns the fiercest is in relationship to those close to us as family and friends who have wounded us somehow. Even if we want to forgive, and even if we have forgiven in some way, the hurt, the resentment, the mistrust, and the fear, they can live in us, and they can come to the surface again and again. And so Peter asks, you know, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Now, seven times, that's a pretty generous number of times, no? And yet, here's where the parable gets wild. You know, Jesus answers Peter in this way, not seven times, Peter, but I tell you, 77 times. You know, seven may be a generous number of times, but you can still keep track of seven times. 77 times. Now, that's forgiving without limit. It's forgiving and forgetting the number of times. Well, Jesus, I, for one, have some problems with what you're saying to Peter. Forgiving is hard, even when I'm convinced it's the right thing to do. But forgiving without limit, no matter what's been done and how the person has responded to what they've done, that's another matter. Why should I forgive in all circumstances and without count? Why? Here's where Jesus tells a parable that's as wild as his response to Peter. And once again, context is important. Jesus speaks God's truth. God's truth is true in all times and places, yet we can only access such truth in very specific situations, in ways of thinking, and in cultures in which we live and move and have our being. You know, Jesus communicates God's eternal truth in the world he lives in that time and place. And we have to somehow interpret it in that context in order to then see what God is speaking to us here and now in our own context. Okay, so that world, it's a world where there are kings and queens and slaves. It's a world where everyone believes in hell as well as heaven after you die, and hell as a place of eternal torture. Now, Jesus doesn't tell them that's all wrong. He does it in a different way. He talks to them about forgiveness without limit and forgiveness from the heart no matter what. And if that's what God does, is there any place for hell, torture, and slavery in God's eternal rule? Jesus doesn't spell it out for them, but he does teach them an impossible truth about forgiveness, which contradicts a lot of what they believe and live in their world. So, what's this truth more specifically? Well, there's a king, and he has slaves who owe him. One of them is brought to him, and he owes the king a lot of money. 10,000 talents is equivalent to millions of dollars today. There's no way he could ever pay that back. Now, how did he get himself into such debt? How did he manage to get so much of the king's money? In that world, you know, the king has every right to throw this slave into debtor's prison along with his whole family. And even if they will die in prison after many years, they will still not have paid back the equivalent in money. Now, even though this is a harsh way of living from our standards today in this part of the world, these are the rules in that world. But here's another wild thing. The king feels pity for the slave. Imagine that, pity, and that's the word used. Pity is a heart thing. His heart is somehow open. He feels, you know, wounded. Wounded, pity. Imagine that. How many excuses would the king have heard in his lifetime from all those who owe him? How does he remain the king if he has a soft heart and yet he feels pity, genuine pity? So what does he do? Here's another wild thing. He forgives the slave the entire debt, all of it, without remainder. Isn't this a bit extreme, to say the least? What would other debtors think? Would the whole king's system of rules become questioned? I mean, if he does it here, why doesn't he do it there, and so on? Wow. Well, when you feel pity and compassion for someone from your heart, you don't think about the consequences. You allow the love you feel to take over. The king makes a decision not out of self-interest, but out of pity and compassion, we're told. It's hard to believe, but there you have it. Now, I'm sure the people hearing this parable in Jesus' day would be scratching their heads just as much as we may be doing it here and now. What kind of king acts this way? But wait, there's more. The parable continues with a further twist. This same slave, just forgiven an astronomical sum, goes out to collect some of his own debts, and he finds one of his fellow slaves who owes him some money, 100 denarii, we're told. This is like $50, a paltry sum compared to the millions he owed the king. Should he not let this go, maybe even have a party instead to celebrate his good fortune and find joy in being able to be generous to others? And yet, just like the king acts wild with pity, where a king would never do that, this slave acts with brutal savagery toward a fellow slave. We're told he grabs him by the throat and he threatens him to pay immediately or else. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Well, but the twists and turns of the parable continue even further, because those fellow slaves, you know, they're distressed and upset, understandably, by the harshness of their brother slave. And so they report it to the king. And the king, I mean, he's upset, he's hurt, he's furious. And, you know, all he did for that slave, and what does he do? From pity and compassion, we're told, the king's heart turns vengeful in anger. You know, he's hurt, he's wounded by the slave's behavior. He has the slave arrested, and instead of just ending up in prison, he is taken in to be tortured until he pays off the debt. Wow, forgiveness turns into vengeance? Or is this another twist? Here's the final twist. Jesus knows that the language of imprisonment and torture is the language of vengeance and hell. Everyone hearing him knows it, but he says something totally contradictory about it. Think about the heart and the head here. So my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your fellow human being from your heart. Okay, let's ponder this for a moment. Jesus is making a kind of threat on behalf of God. God will have you sent to hell, supposedly, which is eternal torture, if you don't forgive your fellow human again and again and forgive them from your heart. Well, doesn't that mean we're all doomed if we're hearing this sincerely at the heart level? Aren't we all doomed? Who can do that consistently, you know, for in a heartfelt way? Right? Maybe this slave was particularly bad with his fellow slave, but Jesus was responding to Peter's question about forgiving a sibling, someone close to us who has hurt us deeply, as the wounds live really deep in us. You know, who can forgive every time from the heart again and again, even if we want to? Who can do it? Well, let's ponder Jesus' message even more deeply. If the king is like God, the first move of God toward us is pity and compassion, infinitely so, without conditions, abundant and free, and all this debt that we owe, given the life we live, that we're aware of and that we are not aware of. Think about the systemic racism. You know, privilege is blind. We don't see all the ways that we are a part of all the injustice in the world. It's not necessarily intentional, but we are part of it. We participate. Our ignorance, our just going along, our privilege, it's all part of it. That's just an example, okay? This is what this parable is about. It's about making us aware, putting things in perspective, right? So if the first move of God is compassion toward us, but compassion if and when we are pleading for forgiveness ourselves, that's the thing. If we don't plead for it, we never recognize it, we never experience it, and without experience it, it doesn't transform us. Unless we recognize our need for forgiveness, there is no starting point for receiving and experiencing infinite compassion. And that's step one. And only when we internalize this step one in our hearts from God to us, which the slave clearly has not done, only then do we also internalize step two, having that kind of energy of compassion and forgiveness and pity for our fellow human. We can only forgive if we have experienced forgiveness ourselves. If God is love with us every day, such and patient with us. You know, forgiveness is about forbearance. It's steadfast love. God, the descriptor for God, steadfast means it's ongoing, it's constant, it's patient, it's forbearing with us every day. If that's the way it is, such love cannot but impose itself on how we relate to those around us, especially those who have hurt us. All the energy for hate, vengeance, punishment, and torture, or even shaming others, that's how it comes, or humiliating others, you know? It comes, from hurt and anger and resentment and bitterness, which we carry in us, whether we're aware of it or not. The only way to forgive from the heart is to experience our need for it and our experience of it so that it fills us up inside and changes the way we feel, the way we accept life, the way we open to others, the way we are patient and understanding with ourselves even and others and through circumstances we cannot make as we want. Forgiveness is not just an act, but an energy. It begins with God, from God to us, if we have this relational connection with God. From God to us, and us through us to the world around us. You know, the belief in hell and torture are for those who have not experienced this kind of forgiveness. To believe in hell is to remain a prisoner and a slave. If our God is a God who throws people into hell, this reveals the state of our heart more than it reveals anything about God. It reveals that we are prisoners. We need to look in the mirror. We are prisoners. Yes, some people will never acknowledge what they've done to us. Yes, some people will always press our buttons and trigger us in all kinds of ways. Yes, some people will never deserve forgiveness. Yes, some people may take advantage of our openness of heart and willingness to forgive. But who wins in the struggle to forgive from the heart? Who wins? We do. Maybe we will be taken advantage of sometimes. That's a risk we take. And maybe we won't be as trusting, and maybe we will be more cautious, and maybe we will learn how to discern better with people, but may our hearts continue to experience the rich energy of God's powerful, forgiving love flowing into us, kindling us, making us spiritually alive, and flowing through us into the world around us. God knows our world needs that kind of love more than ever, more than ever. The woman at the beginning of our of the sermon, you know, the woman, the story I told at the opening, she had to make some decisions. Whether she decided to stay or leave her marriage, she would have to struggle to forgive her husband and herself in order to be free. Whether she stayed or left, she still would have to do this. Forgiveness. And whether she decided to stay or leave, experiencing the infinite forgiving love of God would make all the difference in the world, in how she would walk the rest of her life journey and how she would build other relationships in her life. What about you and me? What journey of forgiveness do we need to make? Is it with other people? Is it with how life has turned out for us? Is it with limitations that we have trouble accepting? Is it with a world full of pandemic reality and racial injustice and a real unknown in the future with a deficit looming and fear of a second wave and not really knowing when and how this journey will end? You know, where does forgiveness fit into our life journey? How we open our heart to forgiveness will make all the difference in the quality of justice, the quality of justice we will fight for and stand by in our world. Justice and rights. Let us pray. Help us, O God. Help me, O God, to open my heart even further, to open my heart to my infinite need to be forgiven, my infinite need to forgive. Amen.